What was once the hallmark of Nazi thinking, forced on higher education at gunpoint, is now the height of intellectual sophistication. Andrew Hacker, then a young professor at Cornell, today perhaps the preeminent white liberal writer on racial issues, has written that historically white colleges are white in logic and learning, in their conceptions of scholarly knowledge and demeanor. Readers of a certain age probably know next to nothing about the Cornell uprising, and an even larger number probably have a hard time reconciling this spectacle with the image of the 1960s conjured by the popular culture. They believe in the Sorellian myth of the 1960s as an age when the good guys overturned a corrupt system, rebelled against their square parents, and ushered in an age of enlightenment and decency, now under threat from oppressive conservatives who want to roll back its utopian gains. Liberal baby boomers have smeared the lens of memory with Vaseline, depicting would-be revolutionaries as champions of peace and love, free love at that. Communes, hand-holding, marching arm in arm for peace and justice, and singing kumbaya around the campfire. These are the images the new left wants to put at the front of our collective memory. Some on the left still argue that the 1960s was a period of revolutionary politics, though they are split over the extent of the revolution's failures and triumphs. More mainstream liberals want us to remember John F. Kennedy, uniting the nation with his call to ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Others emphasize the anti-war or civil rights movements. Speaking as a presidential candidate in 2003, Howard Dean offered the consensus view when he told the Washington Post that the 1960s was a time of great hope. Medicare had passed. Head Start had passed. The Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, the first African-American justice appointed to the United States Supreme Court, we felt like we were all in it together, that we all had responsibility for this country. That strong schools and communities were everybody's responsibility, that if one person was left behind, then America wasn't as strong or as good as it could or as it should be. That's the kind of country I want back. There's no reason not to take Dean at his word. Indeed, unlike many liberal Democrats who were products of that time, Dean is admirably willing to admit that he was decisively shaped by the decade. While the Clintons and John Kerry, who were vastly more influenced by radical politics, insist on pretending that the 1960s was little more than a movie playing in the background. In a sense, however, one could say that Dean is the bigger liar, for almost everything about this gauzy rendition of the 1960s is a distortion. First of all, young people were not uniformly progressive. Public opinion surveys found that young Americans were often the most pro-military, while people over 50 were the most likely to oppose war.